It's time for the Biblical Prophecy Program with your host, Dr. Alan Kirshner of Eschatos Ministries.
Hey, welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Biblical Prophecy Program. So I'm going to continue my response to Lee Brainerd. He did a YouTube video on imminence under attack. So he's responding to, I guess, attacks on the imminence. But oddly, where we left off from last episode's show, you heard in his own words that he believes that certain, I guess, tribulation, I forget the exact term he used, tribulation establishing events must happen before the tribulation. But he doesn't know exactly, or he says that we can't really know what they are or something along those lines. And my response was, well, then how do you know? I mean, how do you know what those prophecy events are? That kind of doesn't make any sense. It's sort of like he wants to talk about certain events that have to happen before the tribulation, which is not the pre-tribulational view. But at the same time, he wants to maintain imminence. It's inconsistent. But we're going to continue to respond to his program. Again, I'll leave the link to his YouTube program in the show notes. And if you want to watch it, it's like 2 hours long. You can do that. I'm not responding to everything that he has to say, but only those audio clips that I'm interested in. So let's continue and hear what he has to say about the quote, imminence under attack. And let me just note one thing for those who may be new to this program. I'm premillennial. I'm a futurist, but I come from a pre-wrath perspective, and pre-wrath teaches that the last generation of the church will face the Antichrist Great Tribulation, which is not God's wrath. The day of the Lord's wrath are the trumpet judgments and the bowl judgments. Of course, the Battle of Armageddon. And we believe that Jesus can return during any generation. We affirm a any generation model, but we reject the idea that Jesus can come at any moment, because we believe that certain prophesied events have prophesied for the church that they will be here to experience these prophesied events that must happen, especially the event of the Antichrist Great Tribulation, which is not God's wrath upon the world, but it's Antichrist's wrath, Satan's wrath against the church and Israel. Okay, here is Lee Brainerd.
Imminency is not an intrinsic truth. Imminency is our perception. I want you to understand that the rapture is not imminent for God. God knows exactly when it's going to happen, not only to the year and the month and the day and the hour, but to the minute and to the second. It's not imminent to him. It's not imminent, I don't think, to the Father in any way, shape, or form.
You know, I'm going to start to claim that this is false advertising by Lee Brainerd, with claiming that he's doing a program that he calls Rapture, I mean, Imminence Under Attack. Like, we haven't really seen that yet. We're like halfway through his program. He hasn't even really got into this issue. He just explained that the rapture isn't imminent to the Father. Well, of course not. Who believes that? I don't. Okay, maybe. I don't even know. I'm gonna sort of have to apologize to my readers here, because I'm expecting, you know, some claims of, you know, some substance, some biblical interaction, but like, where's the attacks on imminence? Who's he claiming? Like, again, I'm hoping there's going to be something here.
2 Thessalonians 2:1-3, and they think that when they see the Antichrist, that's the sign the rapture's coming. Well, I think they're mistaken. That passage actually encourages the church by the rapture not to worry about the day of the Lord. And it says, hey, look around. Do you see the Antichrist? No. Well, then you're not in the day of the Lord. The Antichrist is the sign of the day of the Lord.
Okay, Brainerd is completely wrong on 2 Thessalonians 2:4, because he fails to mention something. The Thessalonians, they were fretting about persecution. They thought it was, they're interpreting it as God's wrath. So Paul writes back and reassures them that they're not in the day of the Lord. And he says there's two events that have to happen before the day of the Lord. And Brainerd, he fails to mention that Paul uses the term protos, first, the apostasy and the Antichrist. This twofold event has to happen before the day of the Lord. There's a conditional statement here, not just a conditional statement, but you have the statement of the term first. So that's in contradiction to Brainerd's interpretation of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, because he just said that he believes that the Antichrist, the event of the Antichrist, is during the day of the Lord. He says it's the sign during the day of the Lord. So in other words, if you see the Antichrist, you know you're in the day of the Lord. And so he thinks that Paul is reasoning, well, therefore, because you haven't seen the Antichrist, you're not in the day of the Lord. But that's wrong, because Paul is not saying that the Antichrist is part of the day of the Lord. He's saying that that event, the apostasy, the twofold event, the apostasy and the man of lawlessness, protos, the Greek word protos, first has to happen before the day of the Lord. There's a sequence here, explicit sequence, a conditional statement, and then piled on that conditional statement, Paul uses the term protos first. And the lexical term or the inflected term is proton. So this is quite important, because a lot of preterbers miss this. They believe that Paul, again, this is so important, I'm going to reiterate it. They believe that, what Paul is teaching here is that because you haven't seen the Antichrist, you know you're not in the day of the Lord. No, that's not Paul's message. Again, there's a reason why Paul says first, the Antichrist comes first. Then you know that's why you can have assurance that you're not experiencing God's wrath, because the day of the Lord's wrath is preceded first, proton or protos, by this twofold event. And Lee Brainerd is not mentioning that. So, moving on.
Now, the concept that there's zero correlation between the rapture and the stage setting for the tribulation, that clashes with prophetic convergence. That view of zero correlation just basically throws all concept of prophetic convergence aside. And it would basically, you're forced to think Israel in the land has no prophetic significance. It's no indication the rapture's near, none. All the events we see in the Middle East, no indication. All the apostasy in the church, no indication. All the signs of the times, no indication. So I think that that's a tremendous mistake. Now,
we're this is getting clarifying now. So he is denying clearly the traditional view of pre-tribulationism, because he says it's a large mistake, a tremendous mistake, to claim that there are no prophesied events before the what he calls the stage setting for the tribulation period. And he does, or in my first episode, he didn't define it right away, but now he does. He says, okay, these events that have to happen before, I suppose, the rapture, before the tribulation begins, it's Israel is in the land, events in the Middle East, he says, the apostasy, and then he's kind of vague about this, a sign of the times. So I suppose he'd have to be consistent and say the rapture could not be imminent before 1948. It could, and again, with these events in the Middle East, apostasy and so forth. So he's clearly rejecting the traditional pre-tribulational view of imminence, which held that rapture could be imminent before 1948, which almost, so for really for 2,000 years, I guess the, or yeah, almost 2,000 years, the, according to Brainerd, the church could not be imminent, or the rapture could not be imminent. Let's continue to listen, because it's getting very interesting now.
I mentioned earlier that when I say no direct correlation, you got to understand that means there is a correlation. It's just not direct. The correlation is very similar to if we see people putting up Christmas decorations. The first ones we see putting them up, we know Thanksgiving is near. In the very same way, we see Israel rebirthed as a nation, and we see the Gog and Magog coalition coming together with Turkey, Russia, and Iran. We see Israel becoming a cup of trembling for the whole world. We see mind-boggling apostasy in the church. We see the New World Order coming together through the UN, through the governments of the nations, through various means, through the technocrats. We see this stuff. We know this is indirectly correlated to the rapture. And while this stuff cannot tell us how many weeks, months, or years we have until the rapture, it definitely tells us that we are going up the exponential curve of prophetic convergence, and we are racing towards the rapture.
Okay, so once again, he's, along with many other more pop pre-tribulational teachers out there, such as Jan Markell and others, he's joining them, rejecting the traditional pre-tribulational imminence theology, for the record. He believes that, this is a whole pop, the pop pre-tribulational teacher thing that they want to eat their cake and have their cake and eat it too. They like the idea of, you know, the signs and talking about all the signs and so forth, and the rapture's near now and so forth. But they also want to affirm that, well, we don't know exactly when that moment when the tribulation begins, which they would most likely put right at the, just before the rapture, just before the 7-year period begins. Some would put it earlier. But the whole point here is that with his, using this term, his stage setting, in other words, it's just another term for saying prophesied events before the rapture. So he's rejecting traditional pre-tribulational imminence theology. And of course, I would argue that there is no evidence. He doesn't have any evidence that would indicate, that would argue or support that the rapture occurs before the 7-year period. There is no evidence. There's no evidence in Scripture. Scripture is clear that the rapture of the church will take place after, sometime during the second half of the 7th week of Daniel. So after the midpoint, we don't know the day of the hour, but that's when the rapture is placed. Jesus, the book of Revelation, Paul clearly teaches this, and it's through inferences based on false premises that you get a pre-tribulational rapture before the 7-year period.
So, imminence, it's not absolutely no signs. I think that's a mistaken understanding of imminence. Some people hold to it tightly.
Some people? No. Ms. Brainerd, this is virtually the unanimous view of pre-tribulationism. Yes, there have been some exceptions, but it's not some people. Don't think that you you know, it's, you know, some people, some pre-tribulationists believe it and some don't. No, this has been the consistent view, and you're rejecting it. So and that's fine. If you want to reject it, that's fine. But let's you know, be truthful here and not say that some believe it, but practically all pre-tribulationists have believed that the rapture has been imminent since the first century.
It was pretty popular from 1900 to 1950 or so, and it's been fading ever since. But I'm convinced that imminence should be used in its normal English sense. It should be used in the same normal sense as been used in Indo-European languages in general. When we say something is imminent, we're not saying it's random and can happen any second. When we say something is imminent, we are looking at prophetic convergence for the rapture. We are looking at sign convergence for everything else. For instance, if scientists give a warning to the United States, or if they're in Russia, to Russia, that a volcano eruption is imminent, they don't just randomly, they're sitting down there playing cards and drinking beer and having a good time, and someone says, oh, I just got a feeling. I just got this gut feeling that this volcano is going to erupt. No, it doesn't work that way. Guys are out there with monitors, and they're measuring the tremblers, or the temblors, and they're measuring earthquakes, and they see that vents are opening up, and they see that a new mud pot or two has appeared, and they see the ground is actually starting to bulge an inch a week. These kind of things indicate that a volcanic eruption is near.
Okay, I just got to stop it for here, just for a moment here, and just note here the irony. So the title of his program is, you know, Imminence Under Attack, but the program here, his aim here that I'm learning is that he is attacking imminence. Well, let me put it this way: he's trying to redefine pre-tribulational imminence. In other words, he's the one attacking imminence. So I was under the impression that this program is, you know, post-tribs or pre-rapturers such as myself and others are quote unquote attacking imminence. And although he might have some statements like, you know, the 2 Thessalonians 2 and so forth, but it looks like his real aim here is toward his own pre-tribulationist, his own traditional pre-tribulational teachers. Because as you're hearing him, he's saying he's redefining imminence. He's saying, well, imminence, imminence is, yes, the rapture is imminence, but you still need prophesied events before the rapture. Do you see what he's doing? So, yeah, he's trying to say that we don't know the day of the hour, but certain events have to happen before the rapture, such as he himself stated, Israel had to be back in the land, events in the Middle East and apostasy and signs of the times. So quite interesting how he is equivocating or even just redefining imminence. So his title is certainly misleading. And it'll be interesting. Actually, I'm probably not the one that should be responding to him. All you pre-tribulational teachers are the ones that he's undermining your traditional understanding of pre-tribulational imminence. You guys are the ones that should be responding to his teaching here.
So it's based on scientific evidence. It's based on science. The same thing when we say war is imminent. This isn't somebody getting a feeling that war is imminent. You'll see evidence for it. You'll see armies moving towards borders. You'll see military buildup. You'll see people.
So in one sense, at this point, I feel like I'm more of a spectator watching Lee Brainerd critique his fellow pre-tribulationists and redefining imminence, basically saying, okay, for decades or centuries now, pre-tribulationists, you know, we pre-tribulationists had this idea of imminence, but now I come along and I'm going to overturn the fundamental belief in one of the fundamental beliefs in imminence theology or in pre-tribulational theology, and that is eminence.
Start to pull a political personnel out of their embassies. You'll see ambassadors recalled.
Okay, I think we get the point here. I'm going to move on and try to find something a little bit more relevant that I'm more interested in. But obviously, you can see what he's doing. Once again, he's trying to redefine traditional pre-tribulational imminence. He's basically critiquing his own traditional view of pre-tribulationism.
Our time frame has moved. We've moved from our lifetime to within a decade or two, to certainly within a decade, to within the next few years, to within a few months. Our time frame keeps shortening, just like the warnings for the eruption of a volcano shorten.
Once again, this is a rejection, contradicting traditional pre-trib imminence theology, and he's looking to redefine what pre-tribulationism should teach. And again, I'm surprised other pre-trib teachers are not responding to him, and others who want to claim that the rapture is not imminent anymore.
I want to read a few slides here that I made. There's texts on them where the Bible encourages us to, or maybe even requires us to, watch signs. And signs and imminence go together.
Yeah, and just like having your cake and eating it too. So, you know, from a traditional pre-trib perspective, and, you know, this is highly problematic. However, from a pre-wrath perspective, I could care less either way what he believes, whether he thinks signs are going to occur before the tribulation period, the seven-year period, or not. I mean, for me, this is the problem he has. The problem he has is he's placing the rapture before the Antichrist persecution. And I've written a few books on this. There's no good evidence for that. The church will encounter the Antichrist. And that's his problem is, you know, he's spending all this time trying to argue this, but in reality, the problem that he has is placing the rapture before the seven-year period begins and having the church escape the seven-year period, or at least the Antichrist persecution. That's the larger problem here. You know, I could probably play some more of him trying to critique or redefine traditional pre-trib theology, and, you know, maybe some pre-trib teacher can step in and respond to him on that. Again, for me, I could care less. That's not the issue. The heart of the issue is, I mean, obviously, I believe that there's, you know, events, prophesied events are going to happen before the seven-year period, Daniel's 70th week of Daniel. Of course, you have the, you know, I would agree with Brainerd, actually, that, yeah, Israel has to become a state, which it did in 1948. But once again, his problem is his pre-tribulationism by placing the rapture before the Antichrist. And that's really the 800-pound gorilla in the room. Okay, so I'm going to stop here because the remaining program that he has, he takes some general, you know, Q&A on other topics, some on biblical prophecy topics and some others. What I find is this is what we, I guess, in summary here. First of all, the title of his program is misleading. It's, you know, Imminence Under Attack. He never addressed anyone attacking the imminence. It's kind of strange. I don't know why he gave it that title. If anything, he's the one that's attacking traditional pre-tribulational imminence theology by claiming that there are prophesied events that must happen before the rapture, or at least before the tribulation period. And that within those events, only once those events take place, I suppose that he thinks then the rapture is imminent. That's certainly not the traditional, again, pre-trib view. So this idea of imminence under attack is just a misleading title. But we did, again, we learned here that, you know, there's certainly a growing movement of more of the popular prophecy teachers out there. They want to talk about signs, and for the signs to be relevant to the church, they have to tie these signs to be somehow relevant for the church, versus traditional pre-tribulationism that says, no, signs are not for the church. These pop pre-trib teachers want them to be for the church to, I guess, be relevant to talk about it. And so they're trying to, again, I've used this imagery again, that they are trying to have their pre-trib or their imminence cake and eat it too. So, and I guess the larger conclusion here, summary, is that, you know, this actually should be more of an intramural critique by a pre-trib teacher, because my conclusion is that Lee Brainerd has the larger problem here is the pre-tribulationism. Again, I would agree with that. Certain prophesied events will happen before the 7th week of Daniel. But his problem is that he believes the church will escape the Antichrist Great Tribulation with the rapture before the 7th week of Daniel. And scripture contradicts him on that, because there is no support for that. The support is a pre-wrath understanding in which scripture consistently teaches that the church will face the Antichrist Great Tribulation. And at some point, the Great Tribulation will be cut short with the coming of Jesus to deliver his people through the rapture, and then the day of the Lord's wrath will occur. Okay, so there you have it. I typically try to aim for one podcast a week, but it looks like you guys are getting an extra two bonuses this week with a couple extra episodes of the Biblical Prophecy Program. But so we're going to move on to another audio, or maybe I'll be revisiting the series on Revelation 19 and 20. We'll see you then. Thank you.